have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music, KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
I don't wanna pretend, I don't wanna play games. Can't lie to myself, not one more day. Been trying to deal with some things that are hard to talk about. I'm going through some changes and I'm having my doubts. Been there for everyone else, now I'm going through. The problems tonight, just gonna have to get used to me not being around.
Yeah. And now it's time for our Faithful Financial Moments with Sister Sharon Richard.
This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. In Luke 16:11, Jesus asks us, "If you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches?" Most Christians do not realize that their relationship with God is impacted by how they handle the money already entrusted to them by God. Yet when you explore this question, clearly Jesus makes it clear that how we handle what has been entrusted to us is critical to receiving true riches. God calls us to be honest, even in small details, no matter how much or little money that we have. If we are untrustworthy with our money, we will be unfit to handle the true riches of God's kingdom. Jesus knew that money has the power to take God's place in our lives. As you read further in Luke chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus indicates that no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. How can you tell if you have become a slave to money? Number one, do you think and worry about it frequently? Number two, do you give up doing what you should do in order to make more money? Number three, is it hard for you to give money away? Number four, are you in debt? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, there is a possibility that you have allowed money to interfere with your relationship with God. In prayer, ask the Lord to reveal to you the areas in which you have shown more loyalty to money than to Him, and ask for guidance in staying loyal to Him and Him alone. God's true riches is what we all must strive for. Financial wealth promises power and control, but often it cannot deliver. Great fortunes can be made and lost overnight, and no amount of money can provide health, happiness, or especially eternal life. God's true riches include the blessings that come from a strengthened relationship with Him. God's promise for joy when we are in His presence and His promise for peace when we are directed by His Spirit are among the true riches that will abound when we are able to build a relationship with God at the highest level. This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. Up next, Nina Taylor with your Gospel News, followed by the Pastor's Corner, and it's Ladies' Night, so stay tuned.
Hi, everybody. I'm Nina Taylor. Here's your gospel news for this week. A session and sideman guitarist as well as a solo artist, Jabari Johnson's solo contemporary gospel music merges rock, contemporary R&B, and worship music. He's made his solo debut with 2019's Day of Redemption and as a member of Bishop T.D. Jakes' church band. A native of Houston, Texas, Jabari Johnson started singing and playing music at the age of three. When he was 8 years old, he and his brother Nicholas Johnson formed a vocal quartet called the Johnson Brothers, who went on to share the billing with the likes of Lee Williams and the Canton Spirituals. Later, as the lead guitarist at the Potter's House in Dallas, Texas, he performed not only with the church founder T.D. Jakes, but such gospel chart-topping artists as Kirk Franklin, Tori Kelly, and Ricky Diller, just to name a few. From a Different Place, which came about in 2015, Johnson released his solo single, You Are Holy. That same year, he played guitar on Kim Burrell's album From a Different Place, among other session work. His own follow-up singles, More of You and You're Good, appeared in 2016, and he recorded with artists including Ricky Dillard, J.J. Harrison, and many others in 2017. The next year, his guitar work would be heard on Tori Kelly's gospel number one, Hiding Place. Johnson's first solo album, Day of Redemption, which was released in 2019 on Light Records. Okay, let's conclude our African American Music Appreciation Month with a salute to Thomas Andrew Dorsey. He remains the most influential figure ever to impact the genre. A versatile composer whose material shifted easily from energetic hard gospel to gossamer hymns, he penned many of the best-known songs in the gospel genre, among them Take My Hand, Precious Lord, and Peace in the Valley. The founder of the National Convention of Gospel Choirs and Choruses, he was also a pioneering force in the renowned Chicago gospel community, where he helped launch the careers of legends including Mahalia Jackson and Sally Martin. Dorsey was born in Villarica, Georgia on July 1, 1899 and was raised in the Atlanta area. A child prodigy, he taught himself a wide range of instruments and was playing blues and ragtime while still in his teens. Dorsey settled in Chicago in 1918, where he briefly enrolled at the city's College of Composition and Arranging. Within months of his arrival, he began playing with area jazz bands, including Les Heights, Whispering Surrenders. His first attempt at writing was the gospel song If I Don't Get There in 1921. He had met with some success with that song, renouncing secular music to devote all of his talents to the church circuit. Initially, Dorsey's luck appeared to be on the upswing in 1932. That year, he organized one of the first gospel choirs at Chicago's Pilgrim Baptist Church. His pianist, Roberta Martin, would in a few years emerge among the top talents on the church circuit. That same year, he also founded the first publishing house devoted exclusively to selling music by black gospel composers. His next hit was Gospel Highway, a touring circuit previously restricted to cappella quartet. Between the early 30s and 40s, he toured the nation under the banner Evenings with Dorsey, training young singers to perform his material. Between 1939 and 1944, he also toured regularly with Mahalia Jackson. By the 50s, with the rise of hard gospel, Dorsey's influence began to slip a bit, although the popularity of his greatest material held on. During the middle of the decade, with the rise of R&B, his melodies began to resurface in many of the era's secular hits. As James Cleveland emerged as the undisputed king of contemporary gospel, Dorsey began to curtail his writing and traveling, essentially retiring from the active duty in the mid-1960s. However, he continued spearheading the annual NCGGG event for years to follow, among the most influential figures in spiritual music until his death on January 23, 1993. Let's continue on with our stellar nominees. We left off at Category 16, Contemporary Album of the Year. The nominees are Second Wind, Ready, Anthony Brown and Group Therapy, Big, Freedom Sessions, Pastor Mike Jr., Kiara Shears, and People, Jonathan McReynolds. Traditional Album of the Year, A Different Song, Donnie McClurkin, Changing Your Story, Ja'Kalen Carr, My Soul Says Yes, Chicago Mass Choir, The Cry, A Live Worship Experience, William McDowell. Well, that's your partial list of stellar nominees, your tribute to Thomas Andrew Dorsey, and your gospel news. I'm Nina Taylor. Let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station.
Hello, I'm Nina Taylor, your gospel news reporter, and you're listening to The Pastor's Corner with my friend, Elder Ernest Richard, on Elation Radio.
Hello, hello, my name is Kimmy Kim, and I'm not Elder Overseer Richard. It's ladies' night. We're going to have a great time, and I'm so grateful to have this wonderful opportunity. Thank you, Overseer Bishop Elder Richard, Apostle Urban Whitlow, and Apostle Smith for this opportunity. And without further ado, I am going to bring on the host for this evening. It is Pastor Henderson. How you doing?
Amen. Bless. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Well, I'm so grateful for you. So now I'm going to pass you the torch.
Amen. 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 We thank and praise you. Praise God for Dr. Kimmy Kim on tonight. Amen. We thank and praise God. Amen. For this opportunity to be before this panel tonight. Amen. First giving honor to God, to Bishop Desmond Richard, to Pastor Smith, to Apostle Whitlow and two wonderful panel tonight, Dr. Kimmy Kim, amen, First Lady Richards on tonight. Before we go any further, let's see who's joining us tonight on the panel. Let's start with First Lady Richards. Are you there today?
Yes, I am. How are you this evening?
Amen. Bless. Amen. So glad you can join us tonight. Amen. We thank and praise God for you being with us. Amen. And we have Dr. Kim and Kim, First Lady Richards, on tonight. I'm so glad that they are with us. Amen. We're going to ask if anyone else is with us tonight to introduce yourself. Overseer McPherson, did you make it?
Yes, I made it. I'm here.
Amen. We thank and praise God for Overseer McPherson tonight and Minister Paula Henderson.
Amen. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. Praise the Lord, everybody.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We thank and praise God for all that have joined us on tonight. And if there be any others on tonight, please feel free to introduce yourself tonight. Amen. At any given time, just jump in and join the discussion with us tonight. I'm so excited to be on tonight. Amen. And hopefully we have a really great discussion tonight, a great topic tonight. But before we get started, can I have, let's say, First Lady Richards, will you go ahead and open us up with prayer tonight?
Sure. Father, it's in the precious name of Jesus we come before you this evening, first of all, giving you praise that you have brought us to this point and this day. Lord, you are just so wonderful, so awesome, so mighty, Lord. And we know we're not worthy, Lord, to even be in your presence, but we are so grateful for your grace, for your mercy, for your loving kindness that even allows us to be in your midst, Lord. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you're touching each one right now, everyone who has a part of this program, anyone that may be listening. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you're blessing each one. We thank you, Lord, that you are in charge and control of everything that is done in this program, Lord, because we seek to magnify you. We seek to help others to draw closer to you. So, Lord, we praise your name and turn it over to you, Lord, and ask, Lord, that you guide us, govern us, give us wisdom even as we share on this evening, Lord. Lord, let your presence be felt and known to all those that may be on. So, Lord, we praise your name this evening, and we just thank you for all that you are about to do. And we ask these blessings in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. We thank and praise God for that. Amen. As we go forward on tonight, I thank and praise God for this podcast and the opportunity to be able to talk about topics that are relevant, topics that open up our understanding to current events and things that we are facing on a daily basis. And we just thank and praise God for all the discussions that we have had thus far, and truly they have been a blessing. And likewise on tonight, we're going to be talking about the topic tonight is the body image. I mean, talking tonight in this discussion, we hope to bring out the importance of body image and why that is important. And so tonight, as we go forth on tonight, I was thinking about women, and I'm thinking that, you know, not just women but men, but since this is Women's Night, most women, you know, we're concerned about our body image and what we look like, and for some go to a greater length to try to portray a certain image because, you know, they want to feel good about themselves, or we all want to feel good about ourselves. We want to look our best, be our best, because we represent, you know, not only ourselves but our families and the church and whatever role that we may play. So we all seek to have this good image about ourselves, and I think some even go a greater extent because they're concerned about how others may perceive them. Body image is important, and that's another subject we may touch on in another time about the self-worth, the self-esteem, and all of that as women and how that portrays and who we are spiritually as women in Christ. But tonight, we're going to kind of take this in a different direction tonight. Even though body image is important in the physical sense, tonight we're going to be talking about body image as far as it relates to the body of Christ and the image that we must portray as believers, as Christians in the earth today. As we know, in the pandemic and so much is going on, and people are looking and seeking for answers. There are people that are hurting. There are people that are crying out. There are people that are lost. There are some people that will never, ever go into a church again. And it is so relevant. Yes. It is so relevant that the church, the body of baptized believers, that we have the image in the earth realm, that we are the hands of Christ in the earth realm. We're the mouthpiece of God in the earth realm, that we're finding ourselves representing him in the earth realm, that we can reach out to somebody who's lost, somebody who's hurting, somebody who's in despair, that one who's thinking about committing suicide, that one who just has given up, whatever they may be going on, whatever they're dealing with, it's so important that the image of Christ be displayed, especially in such a time as this. And we know that the Lord is soon to return. But before he returns, I believe that he's gathering a great army of people. And so we are the body of Christ. And it is so important that we have that image in the earth realm so that we'll be that saving station for somebody. So tonight, we want to talk about the body image and that image and what that looks like tonight. And I'm the host, but I'm also co-hosting, and I have a co-host tonight in the person of Minister Paula Henderson, and she's going to co-host, and so she's going to go forth with some of the discussion, and I'm just going to jump in. And please, everyone on the panel, feel free to jump in if you have a question. Feel free to jump in if you have a comment, and maybe it doesn't go with the question that may be asked, but anything that you want to inject in this discussion so that it be relevant, so that it may help someone who may be tuned in on tonight to know that there is help in the earth realm and why it is important that we be different from the world, because the world is looking for answers and that we have to make that difference in the earth realm. So at this time, we're going to turn it into the hands of Minister Paula Henderson, who's going to read our scripture for tonight and take us further into our discussion.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. As she said, we're talking about body image today. And as she said, also, anyone, if you have a question that you want to bring or contribute, or if you just want to jump in, definitely feel free to do that, as we definitely want to make sure that we impact those who are listening. So we're talking about body image, and, you know, God, when he created us, he created man, he created us in his image, and he took his time with man. He made the body very intricate. There are so many details just to the human body, but he didn't just take the time to create us as humans, but he also created us as spiritual beings, which brings us to, and I'll go ahead and read the scriptures that we have in case you haven't received them yet. Our scripture context is coming out of two different scriptures. One, the first one is going to be Genesis chapter 1, verse number 27, and I'm going to go ahead and read it from the New International Version. And the scripture says, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." And the second scripture is from 2 Corinthians chapter 15, also reading from the New International Version. It reads, 2 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 49, it reads, And just as we have borne the image of the earthly man, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly man. So just in talking about body image, I know Pastor Henderson stated, you know, as women, we try to go through length to look a certain way, you know, whether we're trying to impress our, you know, those who are looking at us or the opposite sex. Women do a lot of different things. I'm just going to touch on it just briefly, even though we are also talking about the spiritual aspect, the body image. So just as women, since this is Women's Night, I wanted to pose the question to all the panelists. You know, we go through several lengths to try to look a certain way. We get our nails done. We go through, you know, put hair weave in sometimes, some of us. We even go through lengths of cool sculpting, and some people, you know, get into weight loss programs and even surgery to the extreme. But without being extreme, as a woman, just posing this question to the panel, is physical image important to you? And if so, why is it important? And so anyone can just jump in at any time and answer.
Amen. Not everybody at one time. Amen.
Amen.
Physical image to me is important. Back in the day, it was something that they wanted you to keep down, keep hidden. Like when we couldn't press our hair, when we couldn't wear certain things and things like that. But your outer appearance is you, your character. The Bible said, put a difference between holiness and unholiness. Over in the New Testament, it says, be modest in all things. But I believe what happened with a lot of the people that came up in the Bible days, back when it first started, they didn't want to get into, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do the other. So they just said, don't do it. If you notice today, you open the door or portal for something, it opens it for everything. So once you open that door, you can't say, oh, you can't do this because you didn't allow that. And I think that's what happened in that day and time. But as women of God, I believe God helps us to dress accordingly. In work, in church, wherever we go. It's okay to be beautiful. You know, it's okay to be beautiful. It's okay to beautify yourself. But before, long time ago, they didn't say that. And I believe that's why some of us suffered, some people suffered in their marriages and things, because people began to look at other things and other situations. So it's good, but make sure God is leading you. Like the Holy Ghost is our keeper. And believe me, I'm a firm believer. If I do something and it's not right, my heart condemns me. If I put on something that's not right, my heart condemns me. And I don't feel comfortable in it until I get it straight or take it off, whatever. So that's how I always did my thing, my life. And I'm coming into some things now, just like I said, because of the way we were brought up, that I do now, but it bothers me when I do it. But because it was dogmatic, it was bred in us, you know, don't do it, don't do it. But now it's up to us to let God lead you, and I'll talk more about it if it comes up later, just how God even led me when I went into the ministry. All right, but that's my opinion of it.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Amen. I think that image is important, and I too understand quite well, Overseer McPherson, where you're coming from, and I too came up in that background with a certain way that you would have looked. And I believe that it does make a difference on how you carry yourself and how you do dress and all of that. As you said, there were some extremes and it affected people in different ways. But I think the Bible does talk about a modest apparel, and I think it's important to be modest. I also think our appearance and the image that we portray also portrays who we represent. And so when we keep in mind who we're representing, it helps us to keep in line also how we conduct ourselves. But looking good is good because we reflect Christ. He is the king. We are queen. So we should look good. We should want to look good. We should want to feel good. And so when we do that in modesty, I think it represents Christ well. And even when you don't have a whole lot, I remember preachers standing up and saying, hey, you don't have to have a whole lot of clothes and a whole lot of fancy things to look nice. Be clean. Wear what you have and keep yourself together. You know, people don't have to know that, you know, what you have, you know, to wear and, you know, but what you do have, wear it and wear it with dignity and hold yourself up and portray the body of Christ, portray who you are in Christ. With dignity, and so that's so important. So yes, in the natural sense, I think it is important that we carry ourselves in a way that we are representing ourselves well at all times. Mostly that we're representing Christ in how we portray ourselves.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Absolutely. So when we talk about that, go ahead. I'm sorry. Was someone saying something?
No. Go ahead.
No. I was just gonna. Mm-hmm. I was just thinking that we are daughters of the King,
mm-hmm,
and all
yeah.
that implies. And I do believe that that does mean, yes, there's nothing wrong with, and we should seek to look our best. And more
yeah.
importantly, we
and
should be the best that He made us to be. Because regardless even of what we do on the outside, if the inside isn't right, the outside ultimately won't look right either. I do think externally there's nothing wrong with wanting to look nice. I think, like I said, we are technically daughters of the King. And
that's
so
right.
the daughters of the King, you know, we should have dignity. We should always mm-hmm. represent ourselves well.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a certain, in my mind, almost a certain elegance that comes with that.
Amen.
I agree.
Amen. I agree. Well, I agree with everything that was said because I really believe that it's important that we, as beautiful women of the Lord and verses 1 in Proverbs 31, 10, that we represent ourselves as, you know, beautiful women, but inner beauty is the most important thing, but I still believe that outer beauty is important. I remember my pastor in Atlanta, he is now with the Lord, he did a wonderful sermon on women. He says, being ugly has nothing to do with salvation. Basically, what he was just basically saying that when I was growing up, you were like stone if you wore makeup or if you have your hair perm and things like that. That is not of God. Like the sister says, all about modesty. Of course, you don't want to go around and have so much jewelry and cologne, and but modesty is the key. And so he allowed me, when he did that particular sermon, he allowed me to understand that it's okay because we do have some misinformation about we shouldn't do this, we shouldn't do that, we shouldn't do this. But God is not really concerned about what we look on the outside, but we should be a reflection of who He is, because when you have that beautiful and you feel good about yourself from the inner, the outer should be displaying as well. So that's why sometimes it bothers me when I do see, I can really relate to Monique. You know, you see beautiful sisters in bonnets in public, you know. It's kind of, my mom didn't raise me up to just go to the grocery store or go to the movies or, you know, you just be in your bonnet. I really believe that when you are a believer, and I don't know if they are too, but as women generally, I really believe that you should, you know, be modest. You should be respectful in your dressing. And that will be my say. I love this topic.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hey, man, that was awesome. I love what everybody had to say. I heard that word reflection. I heard that word representation. I loved the way she talked about we are daughters of the King. So
So all that is so important when you're talking about image, because image basically is you're representing. It's a representation of something else. Like when you're an agent for someone, you represent that company or that individual. When you go to the foreign embassy in another country, it's a representation of that, whatever that country is. So we're also representing Christ. So it is important how we, you know, we govern ourselves accordingly, according to Christ's standards. So the next question I want to ask, pivoting over from specifically talking about, you know, us as women, is the role of the church in today. So my next question I would like to pose to the panel is, you know, based on how things are today in the church, you know, things have definitely changed dramatically. Traditions have changed. And sometimes it's hard to even distinguish the church from the world. So my question is, what should the church look like when the church, when the world sees church? What should the church actually look like? Should there be a distinction between what the world looks like and how the world perceives the church? What are your thoughts?
Amen, amen. I think and I believe that there should be a distinction between the church and the world. I think that we're living in a time now, as I said earlier, that people are looking for the church to be the church, looking for the church to be different, looking for the church to be the answer. In times past, and you're talking about traditions, in times past, you could actually see the distinction in a lot of areas of when you saw a believer in passing. You know, it wasn't so much of how they wore their hair and not always necessarily on what they wore, but it was just how they carried themselves. It might have been a glow. It might have been what they said. It might have been the attitude that they had when you bumped into them by accident. It was always something that made a saint, made a person who was a Christian, who was a spirit-filled believer that stood out. And sometimes you could be across the parking lot and you're like, I know that's a believer over there. You know, and then you raise your hand and maybe say praise the Lord or hello or whatever. You know, and it was something about the believer that stood out. And not saying that you don't see it as much in this day and time, but you don't see it the way it used to be. That's a definite fact. But I think it is so important that we as believers, that we make a difference in how we carry ourselves, our attributes, our attitude, our disposition, not just physically on how we dress, but it should be in our character that when people see us, they see something different. And we can do this in so many ways, even in the workplace or just being in the grocery store. When something happens or someone runs into your foot by accident or, you know, something happened that causes you to have a reaction, it should not be a curse word. It should not be something that causes someone to say or question whether or not you're a believer, but it should be in how you carry yourself and the things that you say. In this day and time, if you have some that are professing to be believers, they're cursing, they're saying things, they're doing things, and you have to question, you know, are they really a believer? In public, and they're making these public displays that is opposite or contrary to the word of God or to the character of God, then that causes to be a problem when an unbeliever is looking on and trying to find the answer and trying to hoping that that person was one who was going to bring light or bring an answer or hope into their life, and now they're seeing something that's opposite. So I think that it's so important that as believers and as the church that we be different, that we just be that light because the world is looking for answers. So we shouldn't be so entangled in the world and with the world system that the world's not able to distinguish who's the Christian and who's not the Christian. I think the Christian ought to be the light that God called us and commanded us to be. Anybody else on that?
Amen.
Dr. Kimmy Kim, what's your comment?
Yes. You were talking about how women should be displayed and how our character matters. I really believe that as well because I was just talking to my young
the differences between character and reputation. Your reputation is what people think of you or have assumptions about you, and your character is actually who you are. And so I tend to believe that your character plays a lot on who you are as a believer. And really, honestly, the body of the church is so important. When you see someone who is down, our goal is to pray for them and not to gossip about them, but continue on praying for them, and vice versa. I hope that when someone sees me down, they pray for me. And saying, you see what happened to that person, or you see that dress that that person wore. You know, that is not of God. How dare you throw rocks at someone? That's just like throwing rocks at that lady at the well when you're gossiping about people. Mm-hmm. God calls us to love and not murder each other by words. And also, it's important as a body of believers to embrace those who don't know. Embracing is not telling them what to do. It's loving them. Because when you love someone to Christ, you will bring them to Christ, and God will change them. We don't have the authority to change anyone. We don't change people. Only God changes people. And so that's why it's important that the body of Christ, which is, we know Jesus is the head, but we are members of the body, and we all have different, parts of the body. And so we are all important. Just because you may not be the pastor or bishop or singer, your role in the body of Christ makes a difference. I'm looking more so at people. Now the building, that's fine, but God told us or show us during the pandemic that the body, the building of the church is not really what's important. It's actually the body of Christ, us, the believers. It's important that we come together in fellowship, but that is not what's going to get us to heaven. It's going to help, but it doesn't help. Your relationship with God will get you to heaven. So we go to the body of Christ in the building to fellowship and to feed off of each other, and then we go outside the walls to help those in need. Yeah. And so that's why when the church is open, when there'll be, I have a strong feeling there's going to be so many people that's going to be in need. And so it's important that believers get on and get stronger in the Lord, so when we do help people who are in need, because I really believe the church building will be really be impacted once the church building is reopened. Some have already been open. There are some churches who haven't. But when they do, we have to be ready for those who are lost and feed them with the word and with love, most importantly. Well, of course, God's love.
Yes. And what I hear you saying is that it's not the building, but it's having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and being born again of water and spirit. Having that relationship is what helps you to be loving, helps you to be kind, helps you to reach out, helps you not to gossip, helps you not to, to be, that carnal self, but be that person who's a helping hand, who's being God's arms and God's mouthpiece in the earth realm. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I agree wholeheartedly. John chapter 13 says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. That's how they can distinguish the difference. The church should be operating in love. We should be encouraging each other. We should be building each other up. We should be there when we know our brother or sister may be going through. They should be getting encouraging words, or we know someone facing a challenge. We should be able to refer them to the word to help them to remember that God is with them, and that there's wisdom in his word that will help them get through whatever that challenge is. So we have to build each other up. And part of that is, yes, we have to come together and fellowship one with another so that we continue to be there for one another, so that we continue to strengthen and build those relationships, not just with those that we're close to, for whatever reason, but those that otherwise that are part of the body of Christ that maybe we don't know as well. We're meant to reach out to them and to continue to develop and strengthen as a whole body by connecting and encouraging and loving on each other.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I like that. Yes.
Amen.
And another scripture I like to bring out, too, is that ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. And let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, I like clergy attire. I think it's nice, but I don't wear it. Even on my job, sometimes they say, you know, like somebody's always going to identify you, but I never went on my job and said I'm a pastor. I never went on the job, but what I project, what comes out of me, they know that it's something different. You know what I'm saying? And that's the life that I like to have versus putting the collar on, wearing the collar, and you're doing everything under the sun that's not right to the collar. So that everybody has their own, I guess, style or character that they want to be or whatever, but we are royal priesthood, so we have a priestly walk. When you walk in this way, you have a way to walk, and you have a way to be. And the world now is trying to blend. Many times people, you know, like they say, oh, they don't take, no, it don't take all that, but it takes a lifestyle that we are sacred. The sacredness is coming out of the church because you want to blend with the world. The young people don't want to dress anymore, so we say it's okay, and everybody stopped dressing. Even when I was working and we had dress down day, my dress down was churchy, only because I wouldn't put money into dress down things that I wasn't going to be able to wear to church unless we had some like cleanup or something like that. So all my money went into making sure I had something to wear. So when I went to work for 5 days, I was dressed for 5 days. You see what I'm saying? So every individual is their individual, but it's what you're trying to portray. It's what you find to be. I'm a light, and I want my light to shine. And if that means that the world, young people, yes, I'm not saying don't try to help them to come into it, but don't lose your identity trying to help them to come in. So, and I think that's a lot of times. My 8-year-old granddaughter is not even, I mean, she's been in the church all her life, but when people, the young people, ministers get up and begin to minister, first thing comes to her when she sees somebody dressed down is, Ma, they hip-hop. So she loses the sight that they're up there for Christ and look at what they have on. You know what I'm saying? That's a young person. She's not saved. But her identity of church and world has a distinction. Still, like they're hip-hop or they're rappers or whatever. And some of them are. But you still got to identify with Christ.
Amen. 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 And that's important that we make that connection. Yes. Go ahead, co-host.
Okay. No, I agree with everything. Mm-hmm. Those were awesome comments. I definitely agree with everything that was said. You know, I think someone had mentioned about the natural being the head and the hands and the feet of Christ, and showing love. By this show, men know that we are his disciples, that we show love one to another. So we all have a part to play, just like in the natural, you know, the different parts of the body, the hands, the feet, you know, the head. They're all different functions. But I would like to take it a bit deeper and ask the panel, you know, the Bible talks about how there's a fivefold ministry, some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, you know, and then, of course, you have lay people. But in this day and age when so much is going on, do you feel like we, as the body of Christ, are doing what we should be doing in our respective functions? Are we doing, are we portraying and doing everything in those particular roles? I know some of the, we have different people on the panel and different levels. Talk to me about how you feel we are as a church, having different, you know, functions, in particular because, you know, we are getting closer to, you know, the Lord coming back. So what are your thoughts on that?
Overseer Maturison, you would like to start us with that one?
That's a setup. It's not a setup, I promise.
Let me start out by saying this. Let me say this. I think that you said, are we doing in the fivefold ministry, are we doing all that we should be doing as a church, as a body of baptized believers? Is that the question?
Yes, in all of our, because everyone has a part to play. It's not just the pastors or prophets or evangelists, but everyone has a part to play. But are we doing everything that we could be doing, considering where we are, what era we're in, what's going on in the world, and not just pastors, but everyone in the body.
Amen. Well, personally, I'm going to take it from this angle and then maybe come back in later and share some other things. I don't know. But recently, I've been, you know, my heart's been heavy for souls and burdened for souls. And sometimes I feel like I'm just like a weeping, you know, even when I'm not really physically crying, it's like a weeping or heaviness that I'm feeling for souls. And I feel like that sometimes even personally for myself, I feel like there's so much more I want to do. There's so much more I could be doing or should be doing. So I'm like, Lord, I just want to do so much more. I just want to reach so many more people. I want to be able to see people. So I want to be able to see people's lives change. Lord, I know you're soon to come. And there's a heaviness that comes on me sometimes just for souls. And sometimes I feel almost like I can feel the heart of God just grieving, or, you know, and I feel like there's so much more that we as the body of Christ need to be doing. So much more that we need to be connecting with the world, so much more that we need to be doing. We had a question on Sunday, and we're talking to the ministers about making that connection. You know, it's so important that we don't be isolated. You know, the Bible does tell us to come on, be ye separate, but we're not supposed to be isolated where we're not reaching souls, because the heart of God are souls. And I think we ought to, individually, I think we all should examine, you know, are we doing all that we can to reach? You know, the pastor does so much, you know, the evangelists do so much, the prophet, the evangelist, everyone, like you said, has their places that they, and the roles that they play. But even as just a born-again believer, we all have the responsibility to win souls. And I feel like there's so much more that we can do and should be doing. And so I personally feel like there's so much more myself personally should be doing. But as at large, I think that the church, it's just time for the church to stand up and to be the church. You know, not just the church in name, not just the church in how we look and in the physical, but that's what we're talking about. We're talking about that image, that God wants us to be that light. God is still working signs and wonders and miracles. We have the Holy Ghost. God has empowered us with the Holy Ghost. We ought to be, as believers, to lay hands on the sick and see people heal and deliver. We ought to be able to see the miracles and signs and wonders. You know, in the time of old, you know, those miracles existed, and they still exist. But I think sometimes when we get so caught up in other arenas that we forget who we are sometimes as believers, mm-hmm. and what God has called mm-hmm. us to do. He didn't just call us to have the Holy Ghost just to speak in tongues and just to say me and mine is saved. He called us to go out and to evangelize the world, to save souls. And so I just think it's so much more that we can be doing and so much more personally that I feel that I can be doing. And that's my desire, is to do so much more than what I'm doing. So I think that I'm just burdened. I'm burdened for souls. And I know the Lord is soon to come. And it's my desire to do so much more. So that's just my take on that for right now. And then maybe I'll come back with another comment. Over to you, Ms. Pearson.
Also, as you can tell, I've been around a good little while. So, but also I feel like we let a lot come in that just from doing the will of God. I've seen people, I never forget, I sat up and watched the Titanic, and that was a 4-hour movie. I sat up and watched the whole thing, and I prayed and asked God, I said, God, don't ever let me do that again. How many people will give God an hour, just an hour? You know what I'm saying?
On,
nobody today was, that's all he asked the disciples, give me 1 hour. And they couldn't give him that 1 hour. How many evangelists, how many ministers, apostles, whatever, is giving God that time? Then if your head don't do it, what you think the body's going to do? So the scripture, and it's this scripture, and a lot of people don't preach it, but it said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly.
Yes.
How many times during our, and I'm not saying you're going to have to stay away from ungodly people, but many times we get mixed up with their conversations. We get mixed up with what they're doing, and you, and will not one time say, God is a good God, or, you know, have you been to church lately? Do you go to church? We never do that. Missionaries is, and I don't know about everybody else, but missionary, nobody wants to be a missionary too much anymore because they don't feel like it's a glorified position. But what did Jesus say? He said what? I'm the servant. I come to serve you. So we got to stay humble at the feet of Christ. I don't care how much. And like I said, I can only tell you about me. I mean, I'm not, I'm a pastor, but if I come to church, I just want to be a member. You know what I'm saying? I just want to sit in the audience and be in the audience because I feel like you can praise God more in the audience than you can when you're up on the pulpit. But that's me. Somebody else may like it. You see what I'm saying? But everybody has to get in there and pray, get with God. But blessed is the man. Yes, we didn't go to movies. Yes, we didn't do a lot of other things. But all those are distractions. When we go to the movies, we sit there for 2 hours, and we won't give God 1 hour. The prayer line that we have, I know a lot of things that are not working. A lot of things not working, but they won't tune in to the prayer line. I don't care how I say I'm getting on the prayer line, whatever. Some of my own members, they won't get on the prayer line. But they're the first ones to cry when something goes wrong and say, oh, why is God doing this to me? But how much time are you giving God? We were taught your light can be as bright as you want it to be. If you want a 10-watt, okay, that's you. I may want a 50 or 100 watts. But that means I got to put in time to get that 50 or 100 watts. Some people are basically okay with bare minimum. I'm not okay with bare minimum. I want to do the best out of everything. Even my job, I gave my job 110%. Why? Because that was my job, and that's what I wanted to be remembered by. So I have to do the same thing for Christ. Everybody's not like that. But this is where a lot of things, even our, where's the Sunday school? Most of our children, they into these technologies, they into the iPad, the games on the thing. How many of them come to Sunday school? How many of us encourage them to come, not since the pandemic, but, and then how many of us are teaching them? Some people I know don't even teach their children to pray before they go to bed. You see what I'm saying? So these are the areas that we got to go back. And one scripture did tell us to seek the old path.
You know, seek the old path.
Seek what they did in the back there that got them. That's why the altars are not falling out. The people are not running to the altar because we're not all on the same accord. We're wanting to see souls, wanting to do this. Sometimes when we're in church, sometimes thinking, oh, I got to go do this. Jobs have taken over. We used to have the blue-collar law. You didn't work on Saturdays and Sundays. The newer generation comes in now, and we're working on Saturdays and Sundays. You see what I'm saying? So what? There again is my job. A lot of people take their kids to games and things like that on Sundays because why? They say we can't do it no other time. So there are many distractions that have been placed, but we that know what to do, know how to do it. If it's one child, get that one child and teach them about a character in the Bible. Teach them how to pray. I still do that. Lord, if I should die before I wake, I pray my soul to take. I still say it because that's what they told us. That's what was taught to us when we were kids. Now I'm trying to get my grandkids to say their prayers. You see what I'm saying? Because the mothers are not doing it. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So we that know to do, how to do, why we're doing it, we are the ones that have to project it, get it out there, keep it out there, hold it up, uphold it. God, in the name of Jesus, thank you. I'm somebody I say. Hallelujah. Mama. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
We're talking about the body of Christ, the image of the body. Amen.
Amen.
Take us back. Take us back. Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah. First Lady Richard, if you're still with us. Amen. Dr. Kimmy Kim, any comments?
Hallelujah. I just want to say amen to all that was said, and yes, one thing I have come to realize is that that's why it's important that we let our life shine and people can taste the salt of our mouths outside of the church building, because I'm still reminded that Jesus hung around with people like me, like the prostitutes, the drug dealers, the sinners. And so when you're in the midst of those, you let your life so shine, and then they will see the peculiarness of you, and they will, you know, why are you so different? Because I'm still reminded, it's not really about our custom, the religious stuff. Prayer is definitely important, but if people don't know how to pray, we must show them love, because one thing I have come to realize, there's a lot of young people raising young people, and their moms didn't teach them the ways of the Lord. And so that's why it's important that when we are in the midst of them, we just show them kindness. I'm telling you, it's amazing how when Jesus was on the earth, and he didn't ever judge anyone. It's just something about his ministry, how he didn't allow rocks to be thrown at the lady who had many husbands, or he talked to the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well, and he left Virgil. Virgil left him when the woman with the issue of blood released him. I mean, mm-hmm. It's just amazing how so many ways that Jesus allowed women to be important in the Bible. Then when he wrote, he went to Mary Magdalene, and he was doing ministry work there. He cast out seven demons from her. So it's important, women, that we do love on each other and we feed off each other, but we must do the work of the Lord in love, because I'm going to be honest, the church building, it's not going to be the way it was when we, it's a few years ago. It's not going to be that way anymore. It's going to be a lot different. People will still be doing streaming, and people will come to the church because I'm just going to be real. Some people just don't want to be around a lot of the old custom ways, because I'm going to be honest, there are some really mean moms in the building of church, and sometimes they tend to say the wrong things to people who don't know the way. That's why love is the only way. When you have love, that 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it's not about my way. It's just, it's compromising. Mm-hmm. It's kind. It's meekness. You're not judgment.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying, when we have that love in our hearts, you can really change. God can really change it. We can't change, but God can really change that heart, because love is like so beautiful when it's done. But I love this conversation. But we do have a possible myth if we ever bring the men on.
Amen. We are at the top of the hour. Amen. We're going to have to come back, women. There were so many things said tonight, amen, that we could just pick it apart and have a topic each night. I mean, so much. Overseer McPherson, Dr. Kimmy Kim, the comments, First Lady Richards, the different comments, we can just pick it apart. And I mean, we could talk for a long time because so much was said tonight. And these are the kind of discussions that we love to have. And I'd like to come back on another time and just kind of pick out some of those things that were talked about, because these are real things. And that's thinking what you were saying. I guess we were to say one word, to sum up Jesus and sum up who we should be, is love. God is love. And when you have the genuine love, you will reach souls. You will be concerned about the others, the weak and those who are without. You will reach out, because love serves. And so that's what it's all about. The genuine love, the unconditional agape love, will cause it to be changed. When we really get that real love and put it in action, we can change the world. And I agree with that. I'm so grateful for all of you. I thank the Lord for my co-host tonight. Amen. We're going to let her come back, and we are at the top of the hour, so we're going to bring the brothers back in. So co-host, Minister Henderson, how did you want to close out on tonight?
Well, I honestly think that everything that needed to be said has been said tonight. All the comments were really profound, and I believe that anyone listening should have gotten something out of that, which would have drawn you more and more closer to Christ and have that desire to be more like him. I believe God's ultimate purpose in making us in his image was just so that we could look like him. We could be like him. We could function like him, do the things that God does. So that being said, once we believe, we act differently. We draw ourselves in, and we draw others in, because we're holding up the standard. We're holding up Christ. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men into me. And that's what this is all about, drawing people into the body. And that's pretty much all I have to say.
Amen. Thank you, co-host. Thank you, Minister Henderson, for being my co-host tonight. Amen. At this time, we're going to turn it back into the hands of Dr. Kimmy Kim.
Amen.
I just want to say it was all said and done. I know, First Lady, were you trying to say something? Then I was going to bring on Papa Smith for closing words.
No, I think everything that's been said was awesome.
But we did good. We got done within an hour. You were cool. So we're going to bring on Apostle Smith and
And I'm going to, I guess we can have someone close us out. I'm going to see if my sister Henderson can close us out. But before we do that, I'm going to bring on Apostle Smith. How you doing, my brother?
I'm doing good as I'm recovering. I'm going to be very brief on tonight. I just want to pick things. You started off, Paula, talking about the physical body and going out to the gym and different things. And as you were talking, the one word came to me, priority. Is it more important to tighten up the lower and upper glute or to tighten up your breath line?
Mm-hmm. All right.
And then you can
absolutely.
And then you can turn that around and also said, let's do a comparison. While you're tightening up your hips and while you're tightening up your thighs, are you tightening up your face?
Mm. Amen. Your face.
So the thing about the body building is not to be thrown out. There's a great comparison and priority talk that can go on with that. And then the next thing was y'all talked about the way about fixing up yourself. The church made a major boo-boo on that years ago when they started teaching in the house of God that women shouldn't wear makeup. And they tried to teach that out of the story of Jezebel. But go back and read the story of Jezebel. Jezebel did not wear makeup. She tried to wear the war paint of the man. Makeup and war paint is two different things.
Mm.
Distinctively different. War paint has nothing to do with, and I'll use it even in this way. War paint has nothing to do with a woman who may have blotches on her skin that choose to use a product that will blend her skin into one color. It's called enhancement. Hello, goodbye, shut the lights off. I want you to understand.
I love it.
That was taught in old school was ignorant preaching. Forgive me, all you old schoolers, but I must tell the truth. It was ignorant preaching, and I'm going to tell you why it was ignorant, because they couldn't read, and the ones that were preaching to couldn't read. So whatever the preacher said, they took it as gold. And it was misconceptions of the scriptures, just like it was brought up tonight. They thought that women couldn't perm their hair. They thought that women couldn't use a straightening comb. They taught all this stuff about the women, but even way back then, the men was getting the black color in their hair. Oh, y'all don't want to start with me because, see, I've been in this thing long enough. I know how to reveal yesterday and today.
Uh-huh.
And what's going on today, people are talking it down. But what's going on today is that people are finding out I'm just as saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to talk about women because it's women night. Women are finding out I'm just as saved with a pair of pants on as I am with my skirt.
Well,
and absolutely.
The problem is, well, y'all ain't going to like me right now, but I'm going to tell the truth. I remember back in the day when women were wearing skirts down to their ankles, And Johnny will still get up under that. Oh, well, let me get off your mind today. I done went too far. I said that for one reason. It's not about you got home. So
come on now.
Some things do go too far. But it's more about what you have in your heart. You know? When I say my heart, when I talk about excuse me. We're not talking about the plasma book. We talk about your heart. We talk about your spirit man.
Yes.
If your spirit man is right, it will help you get dressed.
All right.
Let me tell you.
Right there.
If
absolutely.
Your spirit man is right, will help you get dressed. I'm going to say this, and then I'm through, and y'all can have prayer and say good night.
You're talking good, Apostle.
I'll get off the women thing. Even as a man in the Lord, there have been times when I got up and started getting dressed, and the Holy Spirit said, not that put on this year. I tell you what, the best time I can remember, I was on my way to a meeting, and I was going to put on, you know, I wanted to get dressed up. I was going to put on this colorful suit, this colorful suit, and I had to tie all in mine, and, oh, I was going to do it up. The Lord said, grab your black suit. Now the tie and shirt that I was going to wear and the shoes all work with the black suit, too. So I put the black suit on, went to the meeting. Lo and behold, when I walked in, every preacher in the place had on a black suit. If I had worn the suit I was thinking about, I'd have looked like a fool.
Mm.
So your appearance and our apparel, tell you the truth, if we're not supposed to fix up, then tell every man, stop going to the barbershop.
Amen.
That's right.
It ain't just about the women getting a perm and a nice style or wearing something nice. Some of the men need some classes.
Mm-hmm.
Not wearing them old tights. But, well, let me shut up. Because if this is ladies like God, thank y'all. I love you.
You might need to be friends.
Amen. Well, before my sister hits
y'all get me started with me on here, man.
Yes,
you're talking.
I forgot to mention that. I'm so sorry. Before you pray, my sister, I just want to give Apostle Don Westbrook. I didn't know she was on. I just want to see if she has any closing words, and then we'll be putting back into my sister's hand for prayer and close out.
This discussion, amen, God bless you, Apostle Thomas, my God, today. This has been a great question, amen, and one that's impossible to cover completely in our limited space here. But, man of God, I believe, as you've mentioned, the image of God is not so much something that man has as something that man is. And it begins within. There's an eternal thank you, Elisa. It is eternal, and it's internal, the change that occurs because of relationship, because there's a change in the heart, because there is a transformation, because there is a renewal of our spirit, and that we then are transfigured. There's a transformation to a transfiguration that our spirit is reflected on the outside. It's not what we necessarily wear with the long dresses or makeup, no makeup. You know, that's all part of a religious system. It is about relationship, and it's about kingdom, a kingdom mindset, apprehending the kingdom of God. And there was a question about the church and the church having a different image from the world. There was a question about the types of practical things that can be done. I mean, this discussion can go on and on infinitum, because there's so many very specific aspects that in terms of a process that occurs in the individual, and it all begins internally. That's what I believe Apostle Thomas was hitting on. It is an eternal, or rather, yeah, thank you, the Holy Spirit keeps saying it's eternal. It is eternal, but most importantly, it is internal, the change in the heart of the man and woman. Then one more aspect is that he is coming back not for a church, but for a bride. And I think that's mm-hmm. where we as the body of Christ are missing it. We're forgetting that we are the bride. And the bride is not a harlot. The bride is not tainted with the concepts of the world. A bride is sanctified. A bride walks in the embodiment of the fruit of the Spirit. They exemplify that in their choices, in their integral character, in their nature. And you really know, I know that one woman of God said this. She said, you know those who have relationships, those who have been in the presence of God. And I think that's what's missing in the quote-unquote church. We don't smell, we don't have the fragrance of him or of his presence. We don't speak words, hallelujah, that bring life, that are supposed to affect and influence our culture. And I can go on infinitum, but thank you for allowing me to just have these few words. And Apostle Thomas, thank you, sir. I need to have a conversation with you shortly. And I love you to life. God bless you.
Amen. Apostle Westbrook?
Yes, sir.
Apostle Westbrook? This is,
yes, sir.
This is Smith, not Thomas.
Oh, amen. Apostle Smith, amen. That's probably why I couldn't find you in my phone book. Glory to God. Amen. But we need to talk. Glory to God.
All right.
Amen. We thank you. Amen. We thank you. We thank you, Pastor Westbrook, for joining us tonight. Amen. Did I hear another voice to come in? Amen. We thank and praise God for the discussion tonight. For all the women have joined us on the panel tonight, thank you, First Lady Richards, for being with us. I know this is late for you because of all that you do. Each one, Dr. Kimmy Kim, Minister Paula Henderson, Pastor Westbrook, thank you so much for all of you that have joined us tonight. Overseer McPherson, thank you so much. Amen. This has been a rich conversation, mm-hmm. and as it has already been said, we could go on and
call
on and on.
Call us going to pray us out, though. Paula's going to pray us out before you go. Paula, I want her to pray us out. You know we got to pray out before we get in trouble by Elder.
Okay. Amen. Paula's going to pray us out. Okay, Overseer McPherson, you be on our call. We usually give the call for anyone that may be listening on tonight that is outside the Ark of Safety. Will you give us our call, and then Minister Paula Henderson will pray us out.
Amen. Glory, hallelujah, glory. Yes, say God. Anyone that's on the line that's listening tonight that you don't know God in the pardoning of your sin, this is an opportunity for you to reach out and come into the body of Christ. Time is winding up, God, and it's not as long as it has been. People are dying by the bucketful every day. We've had four shootings between Bridgeport and New Haven since Sunday night. So the enemy is on a rampage, but it's time now. The day you hear his voice, harden not your heart. So accept him in your life tonight. Tomorrow might be too late. Amen.
Amen. Minister Paula Henderson, pray us out. And then Dr. Kimmy Kim, play that track. Amen. Minister Henderson.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in the matchless name of Jesus Christ. Lord God, we thank you for the word that has gone forth on today. Lord God, we pray that there was a word that was sent out to listeners, Lord God, that will transform their hearts, transform their minds, Lord God. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we pray that the Holy Spirit will just rest upon each and every person who's on the line and each and every person that is listening. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we just pray that you will continue to bless and keep us and help us to grow spiritually in you, Lord God, so that we may be your examples in the earth, God. We just give you glory and praise and honor for all things because you do all things well. In the matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. That's the Kimmy Kim.
You are Alpha and Omega, the beginning.